We're doing Chafetz Chaim. We're on page Reish Aleph. Ulinyan ma la'ashiv. And now the question is, this comes up all the time. What do you answer? Im shalof, someone asks you, ma diber ploni odotai. What did so-and-so say about me? Okay. So that's a fair question. People ask you, what did he say about me? Talui baze. So then it depends. We're on page Reish Aleph. Im yesh lo itza la'ashivo bofen shlo yesheker gamuv lo gam lo yerechilut. If you could give an answer that won't be a lie, it won't be a complete lie, and it won't be slander, it won't be rechilut. It won't be telling over what others said in a manner that's rechilut. Then you have to answer that way. Do not lie. That's what we discussed, that very often, under pressure, so we think the easiest way out is to lie. And it could be it's the quickest way out. It's not necessarily the easiest. It's much smarter to figure out a way to say it that's not a lie. And if he understands that the answer you give your friend won't accept it as an answer, then you're even allowed to lie in order to keep the peace. But of course, you're not allowed to swear falsely. But you could, if there's no other way other than lying, then you could. But usually, it's a good idea to find another way out. So let's take a few examples. I got a phone call last night. Okay, we'll call our guy Charlie. Charlie works for a company. He's part of the union. He's supposed to make the same wages as everyone else in that company. But when the company registered Charlie, they made a mistake in registering him, and they couldn't get him to get union benefits. So he said, okay, you guys made a mistake, you have to make up for it. So then he worked out with the company that he gets higher wages than everyone else. So he gets another 20%, which is a bigger benefit than everyone else gets. And now his coworker comes over to him one day and says, you know, I think you're making more than everyone else here on the payroll. Now, if he says, well, I have a special deal with them, then he's going to go to the hierarchy and say, hey, I want a special deal too. And that's not fair to them. If he says, no, I'm making the same as you, so that's a lie. What's he supposed to say? This is a shayla that came last night, live. Okay? I told him there's another angle to analyze here. And that is, if he avoids the question by saying, I don't understand what your question is, everyone here makes the same, it's a union. When in fact, there is room to bargain with the administration. One of the things administrations try to do is to give their workers the feeling that there's nothing to bargain. This is what you're making, there's nothing to talk about. Right? There are many places that want it that way. Stores will very often say, hey, what do you want? That's the price that's written on the merchandise. It's a very good way to say, hey, I can't bargain with you here, right? You wouldn't go into Rami Levi and start haggling on the prices. So the problem with that is that sometimes you could haggle. So if he misinforms his friend and tells him, I don't know what you're asking me. Everyone here makes the same. What's the question? So then he's also misinforming his friend. If there's room to haggle, then he shouldn't make his friend feel like there's no room to haggle. He shouldn't be the one to instigate his friend and disrupt all the workers, because now everyone's going to think, hey, I could haggle and make more money. But at the same time, he shouldn't be the one to dissuade him from haggling if, in fact, he can make more money per hour by haggling. So what answer can you give that won't be spreading things that are harmful to the company, yet at the same time, not a lie? Is there a way out? So I said to him, why don't you just say, I don't have my pay slip with me. Try calling me when I'm next to my pay slip and I'll look. Do you remember how much you made down to the cent? You don't remember exactly. Did they pay you this month $3,678.42 agurot? Or did they pay you, you don't remember. It's true. That's what Chafetz Chaim says. It's not a complete lie. The truth is, I don't remember exactly what they pay me. You don't remember exactly how much they pay you per hour. So that's an example of saying something where you didn't lie. You don't remember exactly what they pay you. You don't. On the other hand, you didn't misinform him and you didn't dissuade him from haggling. You stayed neutral. You stayed out of it. So the Chafetz Chaim says, we get questions sometimes where, without lying, you're going to be cornered. You walk through the front door, and the look on your face says something lousy just happened, and someone in the house asks you, did Chaim, the neighbor downstairs, just yell at you? Now, what are you going to say? He did. If you say, yes, he did, so then that's Lashon Hara. There's no need. There's no heter. If you say, no, he didn't, that's a lie. If you say, well, someone yelled at me, then they're going to say, was it Chaim? And then what are you going to say? So I can't tell. Well, you just gave it away. I can't tell. So sometimes the Chafetz Chaim says, sometimes you don't have a way out. Sometimes the only way is to lie. No, something else upset me on my way out. Sometimes Chafetz Chaim says the only way out of saying Lashon Hara is to lie, and then you're allowed to. But if we take a minute to think, usually, almost always, we'll find another way out without lying. And that, says the Chafetz Chaim, is the more correct way to do it. Again, the quickest is a lie. Chafetz Chaim says, think for a minute, because usually you can say something that's not an outright lie, and then you can get out of the Lashon Hara without lying. And that's where that's possible, that's the right way to go. Lashon Hara. That's what he's saying. If you can't get out of it without lying, then lie. He says that very clearly. Yeah. Yeah. And this happens. This happens especially in marriages. Because your wife will sometimes ask you, did your parents say, or did your brother do, all kinds of questions which you have no way out other than lying. So again, you should try to find other ways out or get into... you come home and you're elated. And your wife says, who were you just talking to? Now, you were just talking to Shmerel, the neighbor who confided in you that his wife is expecting after 20 years, that everyone's been davening, they should have a baby. But he told you, don't tell a soul. Okay, now what am I supposed to say? I was speaking to Shmerel, the neighbor. Why are you so happy? Oh, he just told me good news, but I'm not allowed to tell you what. So just tell me, is his wife finally expecting? Now what are you going to do? So you have to find another way out, which is where the Chafetz Chaim says you can usually find a way out that's not an outright lie. Now, it's a good idea to discuss these halachas with your spouse. Because if you speak about it and you learn it and it's part of how you live your lives, so then sometimes you could just say, I'd love to share it with you and I'm waiting for the opportunity I can. Right now, someone confided something in me and I can't discuss it, but I want to. Now it'll annoy the heck out of your wife. Hashem created women far more curious than men, the Medrash says. That's in their nature. Right? You guys know the Medrash, right? Yeah? Hashem said, should I create her from the eye, then she'll be too curious. If I create her from the mouth, she'll be too talkative. I create her from the legs, she'll be too outgoing. I'll create her, right? I'll create her from the hand, she'll have sticky fingers. So Hashem says, I'll create her from a modest place, from a rib. It doesn't talk, it doesn't look, it doesn't. It's not outgoing, it doesn't have sticky fingers. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, but you see, all those things are still within her nature. A woman has a greater tendency than a man to be talkative, to be curious. All the things the Medrash says, and it shows you from the giants of Jewish history. Rachel Imenu took her father's truffim. The Medrash refers to that as like sticky fingers. It's interesting. It says, "Vatignov Rachel et ha-trafim." She had good intentions, but the Torah calls it she stole her father's trafim. And then Sarah is curious. She's sitting just by the entrance of the tent. What are those three Arabs going to say? She's curious. Chazal say, you see from the giants of Jewish history that this is part of a woman's nature. So she's going to be more curious. So that's why it's good to discuss this halacha. And then sometimes you could also say, yeah, look, I don't see a good way for us to discuss this that's right halachically. Let's push off this conversation, which is a very hard thing to say. You're much better off if you find another way out. And one of the good ways out is to change the topic of conversation. Why are you so happy? What do you mean? Your hair looks amazing today. I don't understand you. Did you do something to your teeth? And those eyes of yours are shining. Okay. Now... okay, you just changed the topic. No, you don't mean that. What do you mean I don't mean that?
when we really talk to my wife, she knows that I'm going to divert the topic.
Okay.
Let us discuss that first before you will
comment. Right. So women catch it, but a good way in today's day and age is to say, I'll get back to you in just a second. You know, people do this rude thing all the time that they answer their SMS, WhatsApp, emails in mid-conversation. So this is a good opportunity to send out an SMS or WhatsApp, just a second. By the time you finish what you're doing, you'll both be on to a different thought. Saying that's another easy out. You just change the topic in a slightly rude way, but if you do it in other interchanges, okay. So here you did it for something positive. But yeah, this is one of the challenges.
Did we go through what is Lashon Hara?